I remember when we were doing it during, are we rolling?
Yeah, let's roll. Welcome to Andrew Collin Show. I'm Andrew Collin. I don't know why I even do it anymore, you know?
You should just have a pre-recorded intro so that way you cut it in and not have to worry about it.
I gotta find some musician to fucking make me something like,
you don't have music?
I do like steel drums, but.
You gotta have your own little jingle.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I paid some musicians. A buddy of mine, Jason, got me some New York musicians to do a little like blues thing. But I knew that because if I use popular music, it's over.
Done.
It's
over. Done. Ryan Sickler is here with me. Amazing special, Lefty Son, on YouTube right now.
Thank you. Go watch it. Go watch it on YouTube because they're demonetizing it. So go find it. It's called Lefty Son. It's on my YouTube. It's free. Subscribe to my podcast, The Honeydew. Check out Andrew's episode. You start there first. It's a great one. We highlight the lowlights. And I'm RyanSickler.com and Ryan Sickler on all your social media.
What are you? Can I even introduce you, man?
And my Patreon. I got a GoFundMe. I'm working with the Girl Scouts right now. And then 22 minutes in, I'm like, I think that's it.
Dude, special is great.
Thank you, man.
You're such a natural storyteller. You love a good story. And it shows. It's annoying, I think, to go, oh, it's effortless. You make it look effortless, you know?
That's nice to hear that, because I'll tell you what, I have eaten so many shit sandwiches to get that fucking thing where it is. I like it. I don't know. There's sort of a rush I get personally where I'm like, let's see how long we can go with them quiet. And then I'm going to hit this punchline right here, and let's see if they're still on board or not. Because you know, I get nervous, and I'm like, boom, here it is. And then if it doesn't hit, I'm like, oh.
Because you'll have like Chappelle with a cigarette. Yeah. He's like, they don't have to laugh for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be like, oh, you're still there?
Yeah. You know? I intentionally told that story. You mentioned to me about sneaking the kid back into the mental hospital. And there's like a little surprise thing at the end, and I've asked people, like, did you see it coming? And no one has said yes. I mean, I don't know if they're being nice, but no one said yes. And then I was even able to use the callback of the belt in that moment as well. So I like storytelling and doing it that way. I know the algorithm these days is fire, like this joke, that joke, crowd work. So I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm like Coca-Cola and Google, man. I'm just right here all the time. Steady stock. Steady stock. Still around.
Still around.
Steady stock. Not this shoot to the top, fall off the cliff crypto bullshit. Like, it's not sustainable. None of that's sustainable. I don't think any of that's sustainable in any industry. You've got very few people who've done that. Even in sports, there's only a handful of LeBrons and Kobes and Jordans and, you know, these guys. Everybody else is... You know, I'm an all-star. Am I an all-pro? A couple seasons. You know,
there is some
injuries happen. They slide me up, you know.
But if I was the eighth man on an NBA team, please, and I just cast a $950,000 check, I'd be like, well, I don't get playing time.
Right, yeah.
You know, you're fucking nine supermodels.
I'll be down there just fucking pop. I'm like, I'm good, but 950? Yeah,
I'd get fat like Zion Williamson or whatever. I'd be sitting there eating fucking chicken on the fucking sideline. I would sit up in the stands. I'd be at the concession. I'd be like, I know I'm not playing.
No problem with it, man. Yep.
That's the thing is, like, in comedy, you just, if you're the eighth man, you're getting about 15 grand a year off this shit.
But the other thing, too, is like anyone can make money now. This is different than when we grew up. Like, children can get on YouTube, never show their faces, do an unboxing video, and make money now. Like, they can absolutely start making their own money now, which if we try to do that back in the day, that's child labor and it's illegal. You can't even pay a fucking kid. Like, you cut my grass.
It's weird. Kids are making the toys in another country, but you can't open them here.
Yeah. But it's a different world. So I just keep trying to plug along and stay in my own fucking lane. Try not to look left and right. But also, like, if you want to have a bunch of cars or a boat or whatever the fuck, palatial mansions or whatever, then you need to go make that money you need to make. If you want to live a Kevin Hart lifestyle, you've got to go make Kevin Hart money. I don't care to live a Kevin Hart lifestyle. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you.
I don't need a palatial
look,
mansion.
You broke your back. He broke his back. If you guys have so much in common. Look, already living that Kevin Hart life. You both have a horrible back.
I'm living
the
bad part of it,
You fucked your back? What happened to your back, dude? I saw so many freaking updates, and I was like, dude, how bad is it? Like, should I drive over there?
It got bad.
I don't know if we're good enough friends. You know, it would be funny if you show up, be like, dude, you're not
who?
Bedside.
Who?
Nah. Andy. Nah, send him out.
Ryan, dude, I've always, you know, I'm so sorry. He's like, first of all, I'm not in a coma. I'm sleeping, bro.
I'm trying to fucking sleep.
I'm very tired. Yeah, but will you just watch my 5 minutes and give it to the booker at the Comedy Store? Do you mind? Wake up.
Me up for that.
Wake the fuck up.
Ryan, just listen. Put it right in my ear. I get it in there while you're sleeping.
And what else? Well,
when I was in high school, I fucked my back up. I fucked my back up originally. We had weight training class. Okay. And like I say, like that was an easy A. I wasn't good at math. That was my C. So that A would balance out that C and I could get that 3.0 B average.
Yeah.
Get my insurance discount from State Farm and get my free personal pizza from Pizza Hut, my personal pan pizza.
Oh, dude, the Pizza Hut buffet. You ever hit that
up?
We
just talked about this. Do you remember? I think it was, who was it? Was it DeStefano? It was on all these damn shows, but Pizza Hut used to be a sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
We went in, had a nice red fireplace in there, and I forgot about the salad bar and the buffet until somebody mentioned, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Dude, the dessert pizza with the apple crème brûlée.
I forgot.
Crème brûlée. That's my first crème brûlée. I would eat it actually with Segura. We'd go because I played high school football with him, and he's your good buddy. In between two-a-days, we'd go to Pizza Hut buffet and just destroy it. I mean, that's where you're at. Like now, kids are like drinking creatine protein. Yeah, they're putting fucking steroids in their balls and shit. And we're like Pizza Hut buffet, dude. That's what we did. But yeah. So yeah. Sorry. So you're in the weightlifting. Yeah.
In weight training because we weren't taught how to squat properly. We were taught 300-pound bench, you get your name on this wall. 500-pound squat, you're getting your name on this wall. And if you can do the 3 and the 5, you're getting a t-shirt to walk around school to tell everybody that you're fucking
in the 800-pound
you're strong
club.
But you're dumb. Okay, it's a whole don't fuck with me because I can squat and bench, right? Be strong, don't be smart.
Dude, I was in the 150-pound club. You know, it's always a club, the club keeps coming up. Yeah, so
also,
where
were you? We're 14 and 15. Yeah. You should not be racking 500 motherfucking pound squats when you're in 9th and 10th grade.
Someone's got to carry their dad's refrigerator. This was before 1-800-GOT-HUNKS or whatever, or got junk. So you're lifting that shit.
I fucked my back up squatting. And I'm, you know, throughout the couple years in high school, I'm going to get physical therapy because now I've got a slip disc that's deteriorating and blah, blah, blah. And it's just been something that's bothered me for literally 35 motherfucking years. And I've lived with this pain of like a steady 6-7 every day. It's always hurting. And I through the years I had gone and gotten epidurals, things like that, pain management. But they're good for a while; they don't last forever. So I met the surgeon, and he was a good surgeon. He was like, "Look, I don't want to work on you unless the quality of your life is affected." And I said, "Well, both of my legs are going numb standing on stage now. I headlined the Troubadour last year, and that's the first time in my career of over 20 years I've ever sat on a stool because I had to. I couldn't walk. So
it's interesting too because at some point your lifestyle, because you have a bad back, that defines your lifestyle. Like you can only do so much. So if the guy's like, look, if it's not fucking up your lifestyle, we're not going to do anything. You're like, well, my lifestyle is because, like,
that's
what
I told him. Like,
it's like
I
the chicken and the egg kind of thing.
I can't move now. Like it has affected my ability to work. I need to fix this, right? So I go in for the back procedure. It's supposed to be a simple 3-hour outpatient procedure. You go home and then you're getting up and you're walking and blood flow is really good for it. But I have an issue. It's not healing properly. So they bring me back in. cut me back open, fix it. There was like a 1 millimeter tear, they said, in there, and some blood was dripping. But now the issue with that is I don't get up and walk. I got to go home and bed rest. And it's not working. So now they put me in the hospital, but they put me on bed rest in the hospital. And I've got this genetic blood disease I've talked about a million times called factor V Leiden, which just means my blood is thick and it's prone to clotting. And I only know that because I clotted in 2016 and almost died. So now I'm telling every motherfucker in there that I have this shit, don't leave me. But day 3 turns into day 5, turns into day 7, and I'm just laying. And I'm like, listen, this is not good. I'm a ticking time bomb. They put me in my own room. The day, it was MLK day. I was supposed to leave. I have to pass this physical therapy test.
Way to make it about you.
Right? I didn't want to die on MLK day either because yeah, I'm a footnote.
No one would ever
yet, no one even know. Who? On what? Nah, we're celebrating MLK today. So, and it's also the anniversary. MLK Day is the anniversary of the Northridge quake in 94 when I had first come out. I went back home but came back out. Anyway, I passed the test and the lady says, as your occupational therapist, Mr. Sickler, I can tell you have passed the necessary test to leave today. And then I fucking fall on my bed and collapse and I'm clotting. And I'm telling them I'm clotting right now. And she's like, what? I'm like, I'm clotting. She calls a doctor in. He checks my blood pressure. He's like, what are you feeling? And I said, I feel 3 elephants sitting on my fucking chest. Like it's, he goes, do you feel anything else? He goes, keep talking to me. And I was like, oh no, here it comes. Typical heart attack. I said, I'm getting a pain in my jaw down my left arm. He goes, listen, you could be having a heart attack and clotting. And then that was the last words I heard. I blacked out, collapsed. That was death. Then I woke up and there was this nice little Filipina nurse standing over top me, and I just said, am I going home today? And she goes, no, your discharge has been canceled. And then I spent the next month laying there until they got me right and got me out of there.
When you woke up, at any point were you like, did you know you were still here? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You weren't like, not 72 virgin, just an old Filipino lady.
No, nothing out there. Just this little old Filipino lady telling me, being so nice, like, no. And then that's when they start doing all these tests, and they tell me my heart has swollen. I didn't have a heart attack, but it's a cardiac incident where my heart has gotten larger. That took like 6 days to go down. I had massive pulmonary embolisms, which are just blood clots all over both. I'm thinking I have a clot. You know, keep telling you shit.
Yeah.
And finally, the guy goes, listen, you could stroke out. I said, listen, I hadn't even considered a stroke. Hadn't thought about a heart attack till y'all mentioned it. Like, I had a rule on my dry erase board. There were 2 rules.
Yeah.
Don't tell me anything else that could happen. And stop telling me I'm going home tomorrow. Because every day they'd be like, you're going to get out of here tomorrow. Then they would do a test. They'd see something just enough different. And they would say, nah, you have to stay. And then I stay. Because that becomes a 2-day process because now I've got to fast for 12 hours. And then once you fast overnight, they get you in the morning, 8 a.m., they test the blood. You don't find out till like 6 p.m., right? So it's a 2-day thing. So every time they tell me I'm going home, I'm not. And it becomes 2 days. And then I'm laying flat on my back. I'm like a vegetable. I can't. The highest I got was 30 degrees. I couldn't do anything. And when I finally got up to get a walker, you have to call, it's called a log roll. I still do them at home sometimes. You roll yourself over, then you have to sit up. Then you got to sit there for a while because if you get dizzy, you can't fucking walk. They don't want you collapsing on the floor or shitting on it, as they told me. That's a lot of paperwork. They told me if you shit on the floor. And then I would walk. I'd walk her to the toilet.
Up.
I'd
yeah.
sit and pee, and I'd walk her back to my bed. If I could do that, and I'm saying it's from here to there, that's a fucking marathon for me. So now I'm getting better. I'm in physical therapy, and I'm out there, and I'm out and about, but I've been feeling weird because I can't run. I can't even fast walk. I was at LAX, and my shuttle was coming, and I was like, I'm missing this motherfucker.
You got to get on one of the fucking cars.
I could have got on it. I can't do that. And I feel different because I can't defend myself. I feel vulnerable on the streets.
Yeah.
Like, especially when I was in Manhattan and all those people are coming by and bumping you and boom, 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 boom. Like, I don't feel like my balance isn't where it needs to be. I just lifted 40 pounds for the first time this year. I was just talking about how I feel like, you know, I can't really defend myself, or I just don't feel myself yet, you know, until this back shit gets fixed. But I'm here. I'm able to sit comfortably with you. I'm able to fly. Flying's been a challenge because I didn't know this, but one of the doctors I meet with, he's an oncologist, and he's like, you don't have cancer, but I just want to stay on top of your blood. And I was like, great. And he's like, I'm going to test you, and if their numbers are off, I'm going to make you dial it back on flying. And I was like, shit, well, you got to tell me, because that affects my tour and everything else. So it's been a wild year. I haven't been able to even go out for, I mean, I don't even know if I can stand for an hour yet. I really don't know if I can, you know. I haven't done that yet. And if you watch me ever, like, on, you talked about adjusting your life, like, I always stood back on my right hip.
Yeah.
Just to take pressure off this leg, because it was numb. Then they both started going numb, and I was like, all right, we're going to get this shit fixed. And then it almost fucking kills me, so.
I mean, what?
Four surgeons came in, they're like, you should have died today. And I'm like, all of them. And none of them knew they were saying that to you. You know, they're all coming in, they're like, someone's watching over you. You should not be here. You shouldn't be here.
Jesus. And then the fifth one's like, and you're going home today. Like, the different information they you're getting. How did you feel? Like, what were your thoughts knowing that you were that close to death? Like, what are you thinking about? And what pushed you to, like, how do you stay optimistic in that situation? Like, what, like, you know, your daughter potential? I don't want to put words in your mouth,
I mean, I'll tell you everything. So at its darkest and scariest, they're like, look, it's touch and go for about 48 hours for you. Like, you could die. I'm not on blood thinners yet or any of that. And they're like, you need to make some phone calls. And I was like, I'm like, it's like that. And I'm like, it's like that. So I have to call my daughter's mother. And she, you know, she's like, you were having a back surgery. And I'm like, yeah, I might die. And she's like, what? I'm like, I should have died today. They're telling me it's an issue here. And I'm just letting you know, for the next 2 days, if you don't fucking hear from me, it's a wrap on my ass. And I'm calling people. And I had a very good group of people around me. Dan Van Kirk came all the time. My buddy Roy, who's my business manager, came. Mike Duffy came. They were present. But I also didn't want a lot of people in there. You know what I mean? Because the thing is, really, like, we're joking about it, but you don't rest. You don't rest. And the nurses will tell you, the one thing you need is rest. But they're coming in every 4 hours for pain meds, every 3 hours for your vitals. There's someone coming in to clean the fucking room. There's someone coming in to take your order for food. Then now that this back thing is a small issue, it's all about saving my life and my lungs and my heart. So now, in addition to the spinal surgeon, I've got an oncologist, I've got a pulmonologist, I've got a hematologist, I've got a cardiologist, and they come in at 5 a.m. And I swear, you know, I would have an eye mask on. I'd have Beats by Dre headphones just to shut the sound out. Nothing on in them. I've got earplugs inside that, and I've got a white noise machine right next to my head, because I got a lady over here that all night is going, all night. And I'm like, this fucking lady here, dude.
This fucking How much lady. Did she squat back dude. In the day, you know?
So they come in and they fucking 5:30 in the morning, they kick your bed and they're like, Andrew, I know you're just coming out of a sleep and you're doped up on fucking Dilaudid and everything else, but we're going to tell you a bunch of really important shit right now about some medications you never heard of. Going to give you some milligrams and shit. You better remember all this, all right? You're like, I'm waking up like, what? What is happening? I don't know anything. And it's just that. And then they're like, you're going to be put on. Then they're telling me if my situation doesn't improve, that they have this surgery they can do where they take a tube that's about the size of your pinky, they put it in my groin, go up into my lungs, and they suck the clots out. And you can go home tomorrow. That's what they say. Then they say, but because you have that genetic blood disease, it can make you brain bleed and be a vegetable. And I was like, then we're not. Listen, man, that's not even on the table. All right, why are we even talking about it? Again, up on the board, okay? Don't fucking tell me anything else that could happen.
You know what's so funny, too, is like I guarantee when you were doing those squats, there was a guy with a marker writing on a dry erase board back in the day, like, Ryan Sigler, 400 pounds. Yeah, and now it's like, man. Ryan Sigler, you could get blood clots. Yeah. Like, it's the same.
Same dude, the right? Same shit. It's the same guy.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, why are you bringing that shit into my brain?
Dude, and the drugs, too. I'm not a drug guy. I smoke weed, and every now and then I do shrooms. That's it. I'm not into pills, acid, cocaine, none of it. I've never fucked with it, never done any of it. And they've got me on Dilaudid in an IV. And I don't know if you've ever had that, but holy fuck. Like, people love it. I hated it.
Yeah.
I would be talking to you right now, and I'm telling you, I swear to God, chunks of your face would be falling off and landing on the table. I'd hear them. I'd see the skull bone of your cheek through your skin, and I was like, oh, my God. People are coming in wearing masks, and the mask is just going flip. I was like... I called the nurse. I go, hey, you got to get this shit out of here. And she's like, what's going on? I go, right now I'm talking and chunks of your face are falling off. She's like, what? I go, your face is falling off and hitting the table. This is scaring the shit out of me. So when I get in my own room, this one fucking night, I have this dream where I'm in a club basement, a finished basement. And it's like one of those parents has that little bar back there with the wood panel on the bottom and like the soft like vinyl perimeter around it so you can belly up to it. And I'm standing behind it, and there's people out here in this area of the house, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs to help, and I can't get that fucking yell out, right? And the next thing I know, they pick me up and they throw me in the back of this old Toyota Tercel, an old one, and then they start throwing bodies on top of me, and I'm screaming. I'm being buried alive by bodies, and I'm fucking under there. I'm screaming. I know I'm screaming. I'm wriggling to get out. I finally get out. This is all in the dream, obviously. And now I'm crawling, and I'm outside the front of the hospital, and I'm on my belly, and I'm waving my wristband like, I belong in there. I get back in. I'm in the bed. I start to see. I'm telling you, if someone could have tapped in and got, they would have fucking a whole Matrix series. I would see guys like in the Matrix, and they would stare at me, and then they would burn my eyes out with lasers. I'd hear the crunch of the dirt, everything, and I'm screaming and screaming to get back in the hospital, get out of this car. And finally this nurse comes in, and I'm pissed, and I go, you didn't hear me yelling? She goes, what? I go, you didn't hear me screaming in here. I know I woke myself up screaming. I know I was screaming. She goes, oh my God, we thought it was the lady next door, and we didn't even bother. And I was like, listen to me, for real. Don't let me hit deep sleep in here. I don't want any REM sleep in here. I'm detoxing off of weed, number one. I'm being pumped with Dilaudid, steroids. Like, all this shit is hitting me. And I was like, this is fuck. I hated it. I fucking hated it.
Yeah, man. Who enjoyed it? It'd be weird if you, and you're like, finally, I could just not have to write any stand-up, you know?
Terrifying.
I didn't have to make a TikTok. It could be worse, I guess.
I should have been doing that.
What
kept me going, you asked? Yeah, so yeah. My daughter, for sure, like, because they wouldn't even let her in. I hadn't seen her for 3 weeks, and I was scared that we would FaceTime a little bit, but I was scared because she saw me with tubes up my nose and everything, and it's wild. I haven't talked about this yet, but this just happened. So I went back to Austin to promote the special Lefty Son. It's on my YouTube. Watch that.
Check
now.
It out.
And I took her with me. She was on spring break, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. We'll make a spring break out of it. We'll go see Christina and the kids, because Tom was out of town still. And, we got a nice hotel, and, you know, just, she likes hotels. Kids love hotels. You know, just for a tip for parents, if you're ever thinking about going to Disney World, just get the fucking hotel. They like the hotel. Swimming and shit. She's going with me, and they're letting her work at YMH. She's screening calls for Dr. Drew and shit. She's like, Dad, one guy kept changing his name and calling in. We had to hang up on him. I was like, yeah, you're getting an early education. And we're laying in bed that night, and she said something about the hospital. And I said, what scared you the most? And she's like, the tubes up your nose. And I go, man, let me tell you something, Stella. When I saw my dad with the tubes up his nose, it made me feel, I cried. And I was like, it's just I go, it's just oxygen blowing up your nose. But it that thing, it just makes you look vulnerable and weak and frail. You know what I mean? And so she's seeing her dad in a way she's never seen him. And then she just fucking broke down. I was like, were you scared? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, you made it out, Dad. You made it. She started crying and hugging me. You made it. You made it. And I started crying. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, my mom, she's got emphysema. So COPD, where it affects the lungs. And she has the oxygen 24/7. She has to walk around with it. And it really, like, I get so angry because I'm like, how has there not been a better invention than the above ground scuba diver look? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like a Boba Fett like, backpack.
Yeah, put flippers on her too. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's the most.
Wheel it around with you and stuff.
You got to wheel it. And then at night, the machine makes a noise. And if that stops, like, mom dead. You know what I mean?
His mom dead.
Mom dead. I don't hear that. So I'm trying to sleep. But if I can't hear. So, yeah. No, I get exactly what, you know, your daughter sees in you when you have those tubes. You know.
And then they finally, they're like, we're not going to let her in because she has to be at least 12. I go, listen, this is bullshit. I'm not supposed to even be here. This isn't my fault. I had plenty of surgeons come in and be like, you know, it's so funny. One guy goes, this is not your fault. I go, I know it's not. It's in my pre-op paperwork, and I've told every motherfucker.
It's like Goodwill Hunting,
that
dude.
I had this. He goes, listen, this is not due to your lifestyle. You know, this is unfortunate what happened. He goes, now you're a friend. And I'm like, huh? He goes, the one who dunked the basketball. I started laughing. I go, how the fuck do you know who I am and who he is? Oh. He goes, let's just say my brother's a big fan of comedy. He goes, you? Nothing wrong. Him? Stupid. Funny, but idiot.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
He's talking about Segura.
Tom Segura tried to dunk on like an 8 foot. What was it? 8'9"? Okay. What? Isn't it so funny? No matter how old we get. No, it was 9.
It was 9.
Dude, yeah. You definitely had that. You remember the rim, the basketball hoop that you could click? You know, or you do this one.
Yeah.
And it fucking took forever to put it up, you know, to crank that shit. And you'd start at 7 and you'd do like a fucking 360, think you're fucking athletic.
That I remember part. The first time I'd never been able to dunk on a 10-foot rim, but when I got it on an 8-foot rim, I had never dunked before. So when I let go, instead of being used to bringing my feet down, I already had them flat and they both landed flat at the same time. My back, you talk about back problems. I was like, God, it felt like electricity shooting up my asshole. But yeah, I was fucking in there fighting for, they finally let her come. They finally, after 3 weeks of being in there, I was like, fuck this. You're going to let her fucking come. I told her mom, bring her, just come up and I'll fucking argue with him. I said, everybody in here is yelling, doing whatever the fuck they want. You're bringing her in here. Like, well, COVID, I don't give a fuck. Well, both her parents are okay with it. She's in a mask. Let her come up here. You're letting adults come up here. What the fuck? So they finally did. And that was awesome. Like, I got to hang out with her for like an hour.
Yeah, man.
And she came. She's playing with the bed and stuff. But I could tell she got up on there and she missed me so much and stuff. And so that's been awesome.
I mean, yeah, sometimes with that red tape, it's like, I'm about to die. And you're telling me I can't see my own kid.
Yeah. And it's not in the middle of Corona right now. Yeah. Where those poor people, some of them really did die without seeing their family or anything. Like, I want to see my fucking kid. Let her up here. She's not being brought by her brother. It's her mom and her dad telling you guys it's all right. So
are you doing rehab now?
Yeah, I'm in physical therapy now. The thing about the clots, this is probably your worst episode.
No, this is great, man. Way. No, every time I hear you say clot, though, I hear it in a Jamaican accent.
That's what everybody does, the bumba clot.
Yeah, I can't stop, but all right, yeah.
These stay in your lungs. I didn't know that. I thought the blood thinners helped get rid of them, but they don't. Blood thinners prevent new ones. Okay, any new clot that could come
in. So you just have some clots in you right now?
They just stay in there. And they live in there until your body gets rid of them. And some people get rid of them a few months, but they told me the size of mine, it would probably at least be a year before I had clean lungs. So you just live with them. And it hurts. Like, they're like, you know, and I would tell them, I go, listen, it's okay to talk to me like I'm fucking mentally challenged. All right. I don't understand this. So break me down. I said, I know that if my leg is broken and I bang that shit into a wall, it's going to hurt. But I also know I'm not going to die from that pain. Make that equation for my lungs. And the guy was like, okay, got it. And he's like, you're going to feel shit move around in there. It's going to probably break apart. You're going to feel pressure. You're going to feel pain, but it's not going to kill you. You're not going to die from what's going on in here. And I could fly. Told me I could smoke marijuana. And I'm like, how? How can I fly and smoke marijuana? Like, it's not going to affect what you have in there. Now, they said tobacco will. So I'm not supposed to have tobacco. They said vapes are trash. Don't even fuck with vapes. And then alcohol because of the blood thinners. But I'm like, alcohol is no big deal to me. I've had the same 12-pack in my fridge for 8 months.
Yeah.
And I haven't had one of them. You know what I mean? I think the last time I literally had a drink was last year. It was last year. I had to stop drinking and smoking weed before the surgery. So it was officially like, might have been New Year's Day maybe, or New Year's Eve day. That's the last time I had a drink. But I don't crave that.
I don't either.
You know, I'm not an alcohol guy.
When you're doing rehab, do you like feel like an athlete though a little bit?
No, I'm watching old dudes lap me and I'm like, this motherfucker over here just running on the treadmill. No, man.
There's no vision in your eyes of like you being like 160 pounds ripped, like taking this to like
eventually. Yeah. Eventually I want to get there. I asked the guy already. I'm like, would you stay on after we get through the insurance part of this? Because, man, I hit my out-of-pocket deductible in January. I'm like, I'm coming 3 times a week all year.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to get massages. I'm like, I need them. He's like, dude, you're going to have scar tissue in your back for a long time. And the earlier we start breaking it up now, the better it'll be. It won't. He's like, do you feel it? I go, dude, when I sit on a bed to put my shoe on or something, I can feel it all crunchy back there. He's like, that's what that shit is. So we got to massage it and break it up. I'm mostly still doing stretches and learning how to breathe and walk properly.
Is there a weird part of at all in your brain where you go, like trying to find a silver lining in this, where you go, it's made my life a little simpler because there's not, because of my limitations, my expectations might be a little bit lower for now. And my life can just be, I go to rehab, I do some spots. I don't need to be traveling. You know what I mean? Like, does it do something to your brain where, and you find what's important? Changed
everything.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't care about comedy at all. This is what I do and what I love. But if I had to pick my family over it, it's so easy to walk away from it. It would be so easy to walk away from it. I also don't feel the need to be out on the road every weekend away from my fucking kid and family. And also, that's not good for me anyway. So even my agent manager, like, look, I don't want you to sit there and do the full meet and greets that you used to do anymore. You can't sit there and shake every single person's hands. Like, you got to rest. You got to watch your lungs. You got people get you. Like, I would be kind of fucked right now if I got any kind of lung infection. You know, if someone bronchitis or someone got me sick or whatever, which
COVID or anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Any of that.
Yeah.
And I've already had COVID twice, so I could be fucked on that. So I've got they asked me to do like VIP meet and greets and things like that just so the crowds are smaller and stuff. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I mean, it really puts everything in perspective. I was telling you, I'm sitting here watching all the social media and each one of them has its own algorithm and each one of it has its own thing and they're still in power. And at any moment they could shut our pages and shit down. But this is how we have to promote our art and our careers and sell tickets and all this shit. And I'm like, man, fuck that rat race. I'm going out once in May. I'm going to go out once in June. And then maybe if I feel okay after that, it's twice a month after that. That's it. And I do Fridays and Saturdays. I travel on Thursday because traveling got so... I now no longer even do Thursday shows because I would have to leave on a Wednesday. So many flights were delayed, canceled. I missed a whole weekend last year.
Yeah.
So even if that Thursday flight gets delayed all the way to midnight, I'm still making Friday. If I don't make Friday, I miss half my work, two of my shows. So I do that, and then I fly home on Sunday, and I'm back. Boom, boom. And that's it. That's the way I do it. And that's the other thing. Like, that's, yeah, Kevin Hart will be doing way more than that or whatever comedian.
Yeah.
I can't right now anyway, and I'm totally fine with that and comfortable with it. I don't feel the anxiety to be grinding on the road nonstop. You know, I want to take the podcast to another level and just keep working on that. And these days, honestly, fortunately for us, with ads and commercials, you know, you can make the money that some of these clubs want to give you. And I'm like, nah, I'll sit right here at home and I'll just, for 180 seconds, I'll make more than the guarantee you want to give me. So I'm just going to say no.
Yeah, man.
And Tom Segura taught me that, the power of no. I've been saying no a lot. And I say it now too. And people are like, oh, he's unavailable or he wants too much. No. In comedy, you think we want too much? No, I just want a fair rate. You guys pay trash and you think we want too much? No, it's just a fair market rate. And you guys want the deal all the time because it's a business. I fucking get it. I ain't mad at you. But don't be mad at me because I'm telling you, go fuck your shitty deal. I don't need to do it. And I don't want to do it. I'm cool driving my fucking regular car around.
Dude, the perspective, you can't. I mean, it's nice that you have come to those kind of that understanding, because some people would mentally destroy them. You know what I mean? I know when I had like asshole problems, and
deep with people in your life or just your actual asshole?
My actual asshole. Yeah,
what kind of asshole problem?
I had polyps in my butthole.
Yeah. They just grew.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not it's not hemorrhoids.
No, these are hemorrhoids' friends. These are their buddies. They're inside. Okay. I think. I mean, I got a colonoscopy and they.
I got to get one this year. I'm 50 now.
I got one at 35. This is a fun story for you. I was 35. I got a I was having asshole pain. Turned out I had a fissure, which is like a tear in your butt. Yeah. Worst pain you can imagine. Just literally tears after every time I shit. Yeah, every time. Even the smaller the shit, the more it hurt. I don't know what was going on back there. And I go to this doctor, and they go, you know, so I get the surgery. This is the second time I go to get a colonoscopy. First time I go, they go, you have tubular polyps in you, which is pre-cancer. And I have colon cancer in my family. My great-grandma died from it, and just from a long line of horrible assholes. Yeah.
Terrible assholes.
Just so many bad assholes in my life. My great-great-great-grandpa, he moved here from Russia. He died, asshole. You know, like all these asshole problems. And so I go to his doctor. I don't have insurance. I'm in New York City. I'm a dog walker. I have no money. And I go to this, I find a doctor that will, I thought I had insurance. So I go to this doctor that I thought covered me. I go to this doctor and he's this old Jewish doctor. And I sit down, this is all true story. I sit down and he goes, oh man, he's here. You have tubular polyps at 35. That's, you know, not great, but you know, and then he goes, so what do you do for work? It says here, comedian. You know, I wanted to be a comedian when I was younger. And he's this old Jewish doctor. And he's like talking to me. And then he just starts talking to me about comedy. He tells me that NYU canceled his license for a while, like his medical license. I'm like, all right. Next thing I know, his sister, I swear to God, his old Jewish sister comes into the room. This is not part of HIPAA. I don't know what it is, but
is your ass out at this point still?
No.
You're not so laying on a table.
We're just talking about going in and getting the colonoscopy. And he starts talking to me. He goes, hey, he does comedy. She goes, oh, my granddaughter does comedy at UCB. You got to meet her. And I'm like, you know, what's, you know, and then he goes to me, he goes, hey, you know, what's this? He goes, that's a Jewish blowjob or something, because Jews don't swallow or something. So he starts telling me old Jew jokes. And then I'm like, yo, what about my asshole? Like, yeah, what is going on here? I'm here for my asshole. I'm not, you know, Mel Brooks is like talking to me, you know? And I'm like, and finally, after all of this, I'm in there for like 45 minutes.
It's a full set, bro.
Full set. He did it. Yeah. He's doing VIPs after. He goes to me.
He's meet and greet assholes.
He's doing meet and greets other assholes. Yeah, he goes to me. He goes, oh, by the way, I don't take your insurance. After all of this. So I'm losing it. He goes, you know who could take your insurance? like Zahir down the hall. I swear to God. And I go down. Zahir is from, he goes, you'll like him. He's from Palestine though. So he's a little different. So now I'm like literally on the Gaza Strip of doctor offices. So I'm meeting Zahir and he's this young, very stern palace. So I'm like this old Jew. I'm like, I like the old Jew. Like, you know, he seems more my people, but you know, and he's like, what's wrong? I go, I had 5 tubular polyps. He goes, how old are you? I go, 35. He goes, oh, like that. Like he made that fucking audible noise. Ugh. And I was like, fuck, dude. And he goes, I'll do it. I could do it. I'll do it for you. And he goes, what's your zip code? I go, I don't know my zip code. He goes, how do you not know your zip code? I'm like, why are you yelling at me? Like, it felt like the soup Nazi.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I was so desperate because I like, you know, have these two. I was really scared.
Yeah, and they're reacting in a way where you're like, fuck.
Also, yeah. And like, so then he goes, all right, I could do it. Let's set it up Tuesday, 3 p.m. And I was like, all right. Whatever, I'll do it. I'll miss work. I'll come back in. I leave. I get a call from my insurance company. They go, we can't cover this. Your insurance isn't active anymore. You didn't pay it or whatever. So now I got to go back to the soup Nazi doctor and tell him that I can't. So I go back in. I go, hey, man, my insurance isn't covered. And he goes to me, he goes, you pay cash. And he goes, 800. And I go, I could do 400. And he goes, 700. And I go, I can't. He goes, you drive hard bargain. I goes, but I have to stay at 700. And I'm like, this, I feel like I'm negotiating a Chanel bag on Canal Street.
For your asshole.
For my asshole, for life or death.
Yeah.
And I just fucking left. I just left there. And like, it's a whole long story about how like, I ended up getting it through like this like weird, it would end up cost me $1,000, but I got in like a real place. There's like some program that, mm-hmm. you know, but anyhow, long story short, like I dealt with this like cancer stuff and I joke sometimes I don't learn any lessons, but I was more still afraid of like STDs or like some imaginary disease than this actual thing that's inside of me. Yeah. And I don't know, like, I just was thinking about what you were going through and like the fear that I disassociate with it because it's so scary.
Yeah, I didn't.
And do you feel like you like, are you like right now you have clots in your lungs?
I do.
And it's a crazy thing to say, yeah, you know?
I have a lot of them and they're big and I don't think about them. Even like when I fly, I'm still more worried about the plane crashing than my lungs popping. You know, I feel like that's the right anxiety to have. I think it's in proper order. I've only felt my lungs on it. The flight back from New York, I felt pressure in my lungs. And then when I landed in New York, I felt a little bit of not shortness of breath, but a little bit of pressure until I walked and got feeling better. So yeah, it is wild. And, but even in the hospital, like I never Googled anything. I refused to Google it because I knew I'd freak the fuck out and I didn't Google.
But you Googled like how many Delta flights have crashed in the last.
I do that shit. Yeah. No doubt. I'm like, the wing's all one piece. Okay. That's good to know. It's just one piece. I thought it was two pieces, you know, shit like that. I'm looking at, okay. Turbulence has never caused a plane to crash. Okay. All right.
That's the one they loved. I've heard that one a lot lately. Cause you know, I fly a ton too. And yeah, it's always like, dude, the wings can be, you know, 8 to 10, and pilots during turbulence are eating like fucking soup and shit and like not even paying attention.
I've seen they do tests. I would watch these online where they just take regular commercial airliners and they show you what they actually can do.
Yeah.
Like we're taking a fucking a thoroughbred for a walk.
Gotcha.
This thing can go out. It can go straight up for a while. Like it, and they're showing it do rolls and shit. I'm like, okay, this motherfucking plane can actually do some real shit.
Yeah.
We're just up and over and down. That's all we do with them. These things can actually really do some shit. So when I started seeing that, I was like, all right, the only thing we really need to worry about is if the pilot up there is suicidal, basically. take off, get it up there for and the first 10 minutes is usually where the problems are. I've looked, I'm like, all right, we're at 11 minutes.
But you're not going to Google your lungs. Good. You're going to.
No, I don't.
Yeah, so first 10 minutes, the crash.
Yeah, I'll look at that. But I have so many medical professionals that I've just decided to treat this again like the 80s or 90s. I'm just going to listen to them. I'm not going to look up all these other fucking things that could happen. You know, because anytime you look at, no matter what it is online, you end up with AIDS. You know what I mean? It just all goes back to AIDS or cancer. You're like, Jesus
Christ. I got an AIDS test when I was a virgin.
Did you really? Yeah. That's unnecessary.
It was unnecessary.
Unless you had a blood transfusion or something, you were having some problem.
Bro, I fingered a girl and I bite my nails. And that's what
You fingered a girl and bit your nails and thought you might have AIDS.
I don't know what order it was. I don't know if I bit my nails first. And I had cuts on my like cuticles. And I was like, yo.
I got AIDS through my cuticles.
The doctor was like, dude, come back when you fuck someone. You fucking loser. Yeah, it was.
That is hilarious.
Because her vagina smelled a little on a cruise. I was outdoors on a cruise and I could still smell the vagina. I was like, this girl has seen some dick.
Yeah, I would say. Probably when you, on that cruise.
Yeah, from the captain or something. She, you know, when you're young, you think a girl sleeps with four guys. You think, oh no, what did I do? I went in for like, you know, I didn't wear a condom for 30 seconds. I'm dead. Because we all watched the movie Kids. That ruined all our generation.
AIDS fucked up our... I remember them coming to our school and preaching AIDS, and everybody was scared for about 2 weeks, and then everybody went back to fucking like rabbits. You know what I mean? Like, well, I guess we're just going to get AIDS. Like our dad's generation, Segura and I have talked about this. These guys never wore condoms. They're the ones that fucked so much. They gave us AIDS.
Yes.
They're the ones that did this AIDS thing. We just had to live with it. These guys...
Yeah, AIDS is just a mutation of like
all that fucking chlamydia was doing. All that
AIDS
fucking,
is just advanced chlamydia. If you fuck enough, chlamydia turns into AIDS for sure. Yeah, these guys are in Vietnam. Their worst thing, their dicks get cut off with razors.
They never had a fucking condom on. They didn't even know what the hell that was. They're like, what? I'm not putting that on my dick. I'm just gonna fuck this girl.
And there was no birth control really back then. Right? I don't even know.
Well,
I mean,
probably. But still.
Yeah. I mean,
you just have to hope the lady's taking it and she took it because you're just going in raw dog over there with this shit.
Yeah. Fucking, what was that? Lollapalooza? Not Lollapalooza. Back in the day. What was the first one?
That was Lollapalooza. The big festival you talked about music? Yeah. It was the first
one. Everyone's just fucking. Just.
And there was like the Vans Warped Tour. I went to.
Oh, no. I'm talking about years and years ago.
Oh, you mean Woodstock?
Woodstock. Okay, yeah. That was just a fuck fest.
Yeah.
No one even thought twice. You're fucking like 40 different people a day.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is, like, I got mud on my knees. I'm worried about that.
That.
Yeah. Seeing Jimi Hendrix and shit. It was cool to die young back then. Like 27.
I have no interest in doing that.
Me neither. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem cool.
I always thought I would, and then I stopped saying it. I'm like, I'm going to stop saying that shit and putting that out there.
I thought I would die young, too. Just in natural causes, you know? It's weird. What I was gonna do some news because I'm trying to, like, you know, you get all these messages like, oh, talk about you got to talk about things in the news, and now I'm just like, and I started with it when I first started the pod, and now I'm gonna be just very upfront. All right, here comes topical tropical the news time. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I knew you'd like this one. Just got $260 million, 5 years. Boy got paid, and he said something about flock. He used the word flock, which
that's,
I like.
What they call the Ravens flock.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's when it's all about the flock.
Yeah, that was his quote. A lot of nail biting, a lot of head scratching going on, but for the next 5 years, it's a lot of flock going on. I love him.
I love him too. So many people got mad about it and everything, but I'll tell you what. You can say what you want to say. The guy is his own. He and his mom are his agent. And he handled his fucking business. And whether you like it or not, he, professionally and for his family and business, is the highest paid player in the history of the league. So he won. He got what he wanted. And he's not kicking out 10 or 20% to anybody because he did all that shit himself, right? Roquan Smith, who we also have, is also his own agent. He did his deal way fucking quicker. But he's not looking for Lamar money. He's looking for top linebacker money. So I, you know, we've got Odell now. We got this kid Flowers from
wide receiver
Boston.
Yeah, know. Boston College.
We've got Rashad Bateman if he can stay healthy. We've got two great running backs. We've got J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. We've got an all-pro Mark Andrews tight end. We've got a good fucking line. And Lamar can run. So our offense, if the other thing is we don't stay healthy. I don't know if you saw that thing of where they talked about they rated each team, like the way they deal with family, cafeteria food, all this shit. We were an F, a dead last in the personal trainer. And they fired that fucking guy. And we've been hurt. So our team has been... It was two seasons ago. We had the most injured players in the history of the league and still were one game away from the playoffs. If Lamar, if everyone can stay healthy, we'll be hell to deal with.
Antonio Brown was saying he's going there.
I don't even know what the fuck that
was.
He just posted on Instagram.
That guy don't give a fuck.
Out of nowhere. The Ravens are like, what?
He does this dance where he's just like, and it blows up. He's a crazy person. He's got to be mentally. Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure. He has like a Kanye thing going on. Mm-hmm. Hell of a receiver. I mean, you know, they say ever since he got that one hit against Pittsburgh, I think. He just lost his marbles.
Oh, when
that line,
one of the Bengals to Chaos.
Oh, Bengals, yeah, Bengals, yeah,
guys,
yeah, yeah.
Pac-Man
yeah.
or one of those guys hit him over the middle, and then was like, "If he's hurt, I'll do whatever." And then he was really hurt. They were like, "If he's out the next game, I'll pay his salary." Saying shit like that. And then he was really out.
If he becomes a rapper, I'll pay for his first fucking record contract. Really out, yeah, I mean. Lamar Jackson came from South Florida, and it always upsets me when they don't get him at Miami or Florida. He ended up going to Louisville. And just fucking dogged everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about these guys, they use it as a negotiation tactic where they go, well, he runs a lot, he get hurt. Joe Theismann got hurt pretty bad. Standing there, you know what I mean? Like, how many of these?
Lamar hasn't been hurt from running. He got hurt from a guy falling back on him, fucked his knee up. And the other time he got hurt in the pocket when he got pulled down. He's not once gotten hurt from running. And look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady got hurt in the pocket. They made a rule for that motherfucker.
Also, when you run real slow, that's when you get hit.
Yeah.
Brady has a couple clips where he just gets destroyed. Lamar runs a 4.2.
Yeah.
Lamar
is still probably the fastest guy on our team. And I think he takes hits very well. When he goes to the ground and stuff, I think he does that well. But if you also look at his passing numbers, he's a legit passing quarterback. They all shit on him. But this motherfucker, when he plays for us, I think we're like 14-3. And when he doesn't, we're like 3-9.
I mean, that's...
You know, it's all you have to do is
his mom just wrote that on a fucking paper towel and was like, here's... Yeah, I mean, 70% win percentage. And then you got Beckham, which is, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in a full year or whatever, but I don't know. I think he could really. Also, this is the other thing that, like, RG3 was saying. Receivers don't want to come to Baltimore, not because they don't want to play with Lamar, but because we're a running first team. And if you want 1,500 motherfucking yards and 12 touchdowns, you're not getting it in Baltimore. You're getting, you know, you might get 800 yards and 4 touchdowns because we're doing different shit over there, you know. So we'll see if these – I kind of think that drafting this kid was to see if Odell sticks around. You know what I mean? He might be like, I got to go catch more balls than this.
Yeah.
We'll see. But he might catch a lot. You're so worried about Lamar. Everyone's so worried about Lamar running. Now you got to defend that pass. You got to defend that tight end. You got to defend these running backs. We got a hell of an offense.
Do you have a moment of going to a Raven, because you're diehard, of a game where you're just like, this is, do you have a story at all of like?
I was at Lamar's first game.
Yeah.
The first one he played. But I was at, I'll tell you a good one. Went to San Diego. This is years ago. And it's on every Ray Lewis highlight. It was fourth down, and all San Diego needed to do was get this first down, and they were going to kick a field goal and win. And Ray Lewis shoots the gap, And I mean, who was that little running back that San Diego had for a minute? He was good. Who? Not LaDainian, but somebody else after him.
Oh, I.
Who the fuck was?
They had Danny Woodhead for a while.
Yeah, that, it wasn't him. There's a little dude. And Ray.
Oh, Bush. Sproles. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Darren Sproles. Oh, yeah. It might have been him. He shot the gap and just crushed him on fourth down. Oh, I was also at the game. This is the year we won the Super Bowl. When it was San Diego
Trent
again.
Dilfer.
It was fourth. No, this was the Flacco Super
Bowl. Oh, okay.
It was like fourth and 17, and Flacco just dumps it to Anquan Boldin. Or no, dumps it off to a Ray Rice then. And Ray Rice is running, and Anquan Boldin comes in and crushes this fucking block right at that fucking line. And when Ray Rice falls, they measure it. It's a first down. We end up winning that game. That was a really good
one. Are you a guy that wears a jersey to an away game?
I'll wear a hoodie or something like that, but not a jersey. I stopped wearing.
Has anyone talked shit to you?
Oh yeah, I've been spat on and shit. Is that right? Spat. I used to go to the Oriole games by myself. They've only played the Dodgers in all the years I've lived here. They've only played the Dodgers once at Dodger Stadium, and I went to that one. Got yelled at and spit on, and then at the Angels game, I remember it was the year we were really good and. Brady Anderson leads off with a home run. I'm by myself, and I'm just talking shit. And, man, we end up losing that game. They're hitting me with hot dog wrappers and every, you know what I mean? Just yeah, throwing them all at me and shit. I was like, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah, I'll eat it. I'll eat it. Yeah, dude, the other headline. Oh, this was – did you see Roy Woods?
Oh, I did. I just watched it yesterday.
So fucking
good. I love Roy Wood. It was fantastic. I think he took shots. Loved how he took the shot about the kids getting shot in schools, and then they were all like, oh, and he's like, don't groan, pass legislation.
Oh,
fucking loved it.
I love when he was talking about France rioting in the streets because they changed retirement to 64, yet we have a guy that's 80 years old fighting for four more years of work. Dude. Oh, that was such a funny dude. He crushed it. I mean, it is funny whenever I see Biden on Instagram or any of these politicians. I feel like they shouldn't be on social. I think it's too dignified. It should be too dignified for that.
The president of the United States should not be on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I was taking shits and fucking making threats all over the place. Like, I agree. They should all be off of fucking social media. They should have a platform that the White House does this or whatever. But I also can't. I'm not a political guy.
Me neither. Me neither.
You're telling me we're going to have Biden and Trump running again? Like, that's the best we can do.
Dude.
That's the best we can really do. The same two motherfuckers. We only get two choices, and it's these two assholes again. You walk into a Subway sandwich shop, you got 30 fucking choices for your sandwich. We got two clowns trying to fight to run this fucking country. It's insane that that's who our choices are. I don't want to vote for either of them.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, Biden's on Instagram. He's always squinting. You know, he's always like looking like the sun.
Yeah,
like,
always looking right.
Like his son's dick pics are in his eyes. It's always just like. Democracy, you know, it's always democracy. And it's just like, I don't know, I think about like, what if these presidents that we would read about in books and shit, and
if George Washington was on
that's
Twitter,
what I was
th-
or on Instagram, they'd make fun. I mean, first of all, the comments would ruin his mouth.
Oh, the wooden teeth.
Oh my god. Yeah, covered in sap. Like he couldn't get anything done without he'd have to fucking make the limited comments, you know. He
would just always smile, his lips closed. Why don't you ever show your teeth, George? It's not necessary, man.
He's always frowning. This was good news. Was it?
Was it?
It's all subtitles because he doesn't even want to talk. You know, just doesn't want to show the wood. But yeah, no, I thought Roy Wood Jr. did great.
Killed it.
Aerosmith is going back on tour.
That's great. Are they?
For their farewell tour in their 70s. Do you think at some point bands should stop trying to look cool and start, you know, some of these bands, you'll see them and they'll be in like in a polo shirt. And they're just like, look, I'm not trying anymore.
Yeah. We're going to do this. We're Toto. We're going to do the hits. All right, good, man. Play Africa, Roseanne. Man, that's all I need. I don't care what you're wearing.
There is something so beautiful about them being like, no, I'm just going to wear fucking Faraday or Tommy Bahama, you know? I don't know. Yeah, it's got to be so hard to stay cool. Like, even, like, stand-up at least, like, you got to stay cool. Like, you know?
Steven Tyler, I've seen pictures of him. He looks like a fuck. You talk about dude looks like a lady. He looks like some fucking, like... some soccer mom and shit with his hair all pulled up and stuff.
Yeah, my brother has a good story where he was on a plane with Steven Tyler and my brother was going to take a piss. And Tyler, he's 70 something years old, they were in first class. He ran in front of my brother and got in and he opened the door. He goes, "Ha ha, gotcha." It's like, you're like fucking, and then he took a shit or something.
He probably couldn't hold it. He's 70.
That's a good point.
Himself.
But I love that he just played a prank at fucking 70. Yeah, I think at some point these musicians, man, I saw Springsteen lately, and I've seen the Rolling Stones a few times. And they still kill it.
Yeah, they still kill it.
But trying to chase that cool factor.
You don't need to. I'm saying you don't need to. My whole thing, too, is how much is enough? How much money do you need? Do you need $180 million? You ain't good with 80. You ain't good with 40. You're not good with 20. What do you need to keep doing?
I don't know. I think part of it is just like, if I'm not doing it, I will be dead. I think it's a fear thing. Like, if I'm on the road, I think, you know, there's certain comedians like, oh, if I'm on the road, I'll never die, you know? Or
that's,
if I'm
that's
working.
That's what's going to kill you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's the last words. Of
that's
like,
it. Like, yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. Dead in Des Moines. Before, and they're replacing you that night with a local guy, and shit just moves right on.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? It just moves right along.
Your feature will now be the headliner.
Yep. And we're going to give you free tickets because Andrew's dead. Dead. But we're going to keep on going, guys. Don't forget, Margarita Mondays. Come in here. See some open micers. Andrew's dead.
Oh, fuck, man. Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I mean, I don't... It's I don't know if there should be a time. Do you watch Succession, by the way? Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Everyone tells me I should, though.
I mean, so the father died. Mm-hmm. Oh shit. Fuck. Damn, that was bad. Cuz you might watch it one day.
That's okay.
Well, the sons have taken over now, and they're firing everybody. Like, they're just like, anyone giving them the lip, anyone that treated them shitty before the dad died, fired. I kind of like it. Have you ever been fired?
Oh, yeah. I've been fired and quit.
What was the best fire?
The firings weren't great, but the quitting, I have a good quitting one.
Yeah.
I was a summer job. We were doing above ground pools mostly, right? Because the East Coast above ground pools are big. We're starting to, because you know how hot the summers are on the East Coast. I'm in Maryland. It's humid as fuck. It's July, you know, and shit. So we would start at like 5 or 6 a.m. so that we could be done by 2 and we wouldn't be out there cooking all fucking day. Shit like that. We had this guy. His name was Richard. He was a real fucking asshole boss. And
how old are you at this point?
22, maybe.
Okay. Before stand-up, or are you still trying?
Yeah. I dabbled with it in Baltimore at 20, but I hadn't really started yet. And he's always treating people like shit, talking to them like they're shit. And I just knew, I was like, if this motherfucker ever talks to me like that, I'm going to fucking kill this motherfucker. So we actually have an in-ground pool job. And that's a big deal. We've got the Bobcat. We're digging up the ground and excavating and all this shit. And the family's watching. They're up on their deck watching us.
Watching the poor people.
And it's Richard.
They're drinking lemonade.
Offering it.
Oh, you boss thirsty.
And it's Richard, and it's like me and two other employees. And one of them is my really good friend, Eric Snyder, who got me the job. And he's just talking to Eric like he's shit. And I'm just boiling. I'm like, fuck this guy. And then I say something to him. I'm like, why do you talk to people like that? Who do you think you are? And he starts running his mouth at me. And I go, listen, motherfucker, don't talk to me like that. I'm not taking it. We're arguing. The family's watching. He's like, fuck you. I said, fuck you. I took my shovel and I threw it at him like a fucking spear right at his head. He ducks like that and he goes, you're fired. I was like, fuck you, dude. I quit. And I had a motorcycle at the time and I walked out of there. And I go, your pool's going to suck. I tell him, I go, that guy sucks. Your pool's going to have all kinds of problems.
He's an above ground guy. He's above ground.
It's the first in-ground pool we've done all year. It's going to suck, man. Dude. I can already tell you it's not level down there.
And you drove off on a motorcycle? Who the fuck do you think you were? Now you can't even walk. You're going out on a motorcycle after digging ditches.
I had a motorcycle and I was never comfortable on it. Never. I had it for 2 summers and I got rid of that motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what was that buy? You were just trying probably to have money for gas?
I had an FZ600 and it was so much cheaper. Yeah. To drive. You know, but also I'm dumb. And it wasn't until I got on the Beltway. And I look, I'm doing 80, and I look over, and there's an 18-wheeler wheel just right here. And that hub, you know, that hub that just floats, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, if I even go down on this bike, I'm dead. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt. I'm a moron.
No helmet, bro.
No, definitely not. But still, what's that going to do? My body's going to be mangled. I'm going to remember it. You know what I mean? I'm going to be able to consciously think about it.
I'm from Florida. I know plenty of people that have been... I saw a guy one time. I was going to a club with a buddy. And he went to go down. He was on a crotch rocket. And there was a cop on the far corner. And he was just going to run the red light. Last second, he saw the cop. Tried to hit the brakes. Fell, fucking slided on his face, literally laying right next to our car. I just saw the whole thing.
Just skin and shit.
Everywhere. I just looked at my buddy. I was like, we're going to the club. We're not dealing with this, right? Like, this isn't, the cop's right there. That's right their thing. There, yeah.
That's his problem.
But
I
saw
one video online where these guys, it's a guy and a girl on a bike. She's sitting on the back. He's driving. And this other guy's in front of him. And this guy hits his brakes. Like, he's playing brake check with him, and he hits him. I think they might know each other. And this guy taps his back tire. Well, it makes this guy start to lose control. So he puts his foot down to catch the bike, and when he does and comes upright, the bike throws him, and he goes over an overpass and fucking dies. He flew over the overpass and died right in front of everybody. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Nah, you're so...
Dude.
And back then, texting didn't exist. So now you got everybody looking at their phones while you're driving a motorcycle. It's crazy.
When I do like when the guy fired you, he goes, "You're fired." And you go, "Well, I quit." And like, I love the like it changes the story. Like, you tried to control him firing you.
I shoveled him.
But like, he did fire you. Like, you, but you think you quit that. Like, quit. Yeah, yeah.
Don't you tell me I got fired. I quit.
Dude, I've been fired so many times, man. I couldn't keep any job. I was so bad at everything. I got fired. I was working call center for the improv down in Florida. Mm-hmm. And they hired me as the manager at a call center because I have a college education. This woman thought I was like a go-getter. This woman, Renee, down there. And I thought it would get me more into the club to take this job. What a stupid way to think. Like, you know, like analyzing and be like, oh, if I do the call center, I'll get more feature spots, you know? After 2 weeks of, you know, the calls.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
That's not long at all.
Not at all. She knew. She. Yes. So I remember she was like, you got to build the morale here. And I just remember being in, like, bringing everyone in, but having, like, nothing, you know? Because I didn't believe in. I don't believe in.
Yeah.
I mean, I do believe in, like, yeah, try to get people in the audience, but like, it's just such a.
It ain't for
me. I'm not going to give any Sunday speech to call. I'll be like, you got to dig deep and hit the buttons and dial hard. You know, it's not like, I was just like, yeah, man, dude, you guys just got to call more. You know, that was pretty much the whole. So she pulls me in. She goes, look, you're not the right person for this job, and we're going to have to let you go. And I was like, yeah, I'm surprised it took you this long. Like, I was joking with her, and she goes, also, you left the family photos of the last guy just up in your, in the cubicle. So my
kids. No, you didn't even, you're still in there with that guy's photos.
Drinking out of his coffee mug.
Yeah, yeah.
I just photoshopped my face on his fucking family. Like, it was, she was just like. I was like, well, why is that my job? You know, that was your job to clear out, or his, to take his family photos. Mm-hmm. I didn't, but that's how, like, my brain works, you know, and that's why I think I do what I do. But Yeah, man, just fucking. Now I'm trying to be better though about like everything, and I just feel like sometimes I try to better my life, and it's like, God, do I not feel as funny? You know, the kinder I am, the more water I drink.
The more water I drink,
dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like, and I'm trying to run this marathon or a half a marathon, which that's what I've been training for. You know, mm-hmm. I did 6 miles the other day. It's the most I ever did, and completely depleted. But I think about people that run marathons and how they'll always do it for a charity, mm-hmm. you know, like for like orphans or whatever. And I'm like, I'll do mine just for sushi, you know, like yes, I just don't, sushi. I just want like
I'm
that.
Just gonna give you the $100.
I want the rainbow roll, yeah. You know, I want the high class. And then I think about how, and maybe you've noticed this too, where like anything, maybe even if you put out like a mini series or like, let's say you film something, people really care about it. The launch, you know, like when someone runs a marathon, they go, I ran a marathon. People are like, yeah, you're amazing. 8 million likes, you know, a couple months later, I ran my second marathon. People are like, oh, cool. You're doing it still. You know, this, it just right away depletes. And then I ran my third marathon and people are like, we don't
give a fuck.
We didn't even care about the first one. Right. Like, shut the fuck up. And I feel like it's the same way with marriages, like a third wedding.
Kids. We don't give a fuck about your second or your third one.
Bro, it's like it drops off. And I wonder why that is, like the psychology behind that. Because I was just thinking about that the other day of how like people give zero fucks. Like, it's just that initial. And then to follow that up, it's like a special or whatever. You have to keep
doing everything. Keep feeding the algorithms. That's what it is. I'm telling you, the more and more we get through life, the more and more I think we really might be in a fucking simulation of some sort. I swear. We're just meat sacks.
Ugh.
We're just sacks of meat that are vulnerable and messy and everything else. I swear, I really do think aliens have been here and they've been like, man, get the fuck. This is like the dumpster of the universe. You know what I mean? They're like, get the fuck out of there. These people are still walking.
they probably came here and they were like, I can't. This is like fixing up like, you know, something with bed bugs. You're like, no, throw that.
Like, just leave it
there. They're just
there.
A bunch of bed bugs down there. You know what? We're just going to put that on the side of the street. Yeah. That's what we are. We're bed bugs.
On the side of the street.
On the side of the street. And people are like, is that still a good mattress? No, don't. We don't even need to test
it. Blood stains and shit on it. Don't go near that. Don't go near that.
That's all we are. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, dude. Thank you for having me.
Man, it's such a pleasure. Go check out his special, Lefty Son, on YouTube. His podcast, Honeydew. And, man, I really hope you get better and feel better.
I'm on it. I'm getting there. It's going to be a long year for your boy here.
You could always buy a bigger gun, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Just get a fucking sick gun.
Just keep it on my side out there.
Honestly, you got a cop kind of energy. Like, chill detective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
Check out Ryan on Instagram, TikTok. Make that algorithm go.
Hit that algorithm, y'all.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
That was great.